Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the program. Tom, our snow event is over. As some of my Facebook friends have said, please, enough of the snow pictures. We know what snow looks like on patio furniture, right?
Yes.
But anyway, everybody wanted to post that, yeah, we did have a snow event. And it is unusual. It's only happened, I guess, maybe 10 times in the month of March since they've kept records out at the airport. But now I'm ready for spring.
But the folks up on Mount Lemmon in Summerhaven, they're probably having one of their better snow or ski seasons than they've had in the past.
Near record levels up at Mount Lemmon. Of course, when you talk about California, definitely. The water content for the Sierra is at record levels, which is wonderful news. And hopefully somebody was saying that there could be snow in patches up in the Sierra into October of next year. We'll see. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. It's March 3rd, Friday, 2023. Our radio station, 1030 KVOI, the voice for trusted news and talk. We are in our 13th year with the radio project, our 35th year on TV and radio here in this market. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts of the show at buckmastershow.com. Pretty proud of the fact that 12 years of content there at buckmastershow.com. Pretty much every show we have done. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, we like to do a big Friday shout out. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, for your support at the TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Scheer supports us at the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. This weekend at the University of Arizona, it's the 14th annual Tucson Festival of Books. To celebrate the occasion, our Friday Focus interview today is with writer Tom Zollner. Tom, a fifth-generation Arizonan. He is currently a professor at Chapman University in Los Angeles. He also does some teaching at Dartmouth. He's a former staff writer for the Arizona Republic, currently serves as the politics editor for the Los Angeles Times Review of Books. Tom is the author of 8 nonfiction books. The latest is, well, recently published, just published, by the University of Arizona Press. The book is titled Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. I actually finished the book last night. I enjoyed, Tom, first of all, great to see you.
Great to be here.
I enjoyed tagging along as you walked the Arizona Trail from top to bottom, actually ending the journey in Arizona's nominal home place, which is now in northern Mexico. And
yes.
And we'll talk about that in a second, but first I want to give you some more kudos. Other books of note, Island on Fire, a book about the revolt in Jamaica that ended slavery in the British Empire. Tom, I liked that book a lot. We spent a half hour when that book first came out talking with you telephonically, I believe. But I was not alone in liking it. Island on Fire was the 2020 National Book Critics Circle Award winner. Congratulations on that excellent book. Train, Riding the Rails. This is a book I just started. Tom rides the rails around the world from Siberia to Peru and China and beyond. The National Road, Dispatches from a Changing America. That was a fun road trip. Then there was your book, Tom, and we interviewed you after this one came out, A Safeway in Arizona, What the Gabrielle Giffords Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon's State and Life in America. This was a book that Team Giffords was not at all pleased that you wrote, correct?
Correct.
Do you want to add to that real quickly before I continue with your my Zollner reading list?
Well, yeah, I think it's safe to say that the days after January 8th, 2011 were unlike anything Tucson has ever seen. And there was a sense of extreme protectiveness around Gabrielle that sense persists today. This it kind of extends to a kind of what you might say message discipline around the team, that there's going to be certain things that are going to be talked about and certain things that aren't. And I think, as any political entity does, wants to have some control over the message, and that's understandable. This book was done outside of that that zone, and there's, from my view, no hard feelings, and I do understand where they're coming from.
It's not like you didn't know Gabby and have known her. You're pretty darn close to her, worked on her campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, still to come on my reading list, Tom, The Heartless Stone, a book about blood diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
You traveled to Africa on that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three different countries.
All right. So I agree with what Luis Alberto Urrea says about Tom Zollner. He's one of my go-to authors. He has a clear eye, a deep soul, and a very sharp pen. And Tom also can help folks win trivia contests, because I did not know, Tom Zollner, that Phoenix, before it became known as Phoenix in the Valley of the Sun, it was called Pumpkinville?
Yes.
Did they grow pumpkins in the valley?
It certainly did. Yes, it was a it was a little bit of a garden spot watered by the Salt River for Anglo farmers to sell crops to the soldiers at Fort McDowell.
And then somebody came up with a bright idea. Let's name it for the bird that rose from the ashes.
Yes, this was a fanciful Phoenix early resident, a guy named Daryl Dupa, who had a fondness for, as we say, the strong waters, and drank himself into a nice buzz on a summer morning, and mounted, as the story goes, a park bench, and started waxing poetic about the Greek bird that rises from the ashes, and isn't this wonderful city we've got out of, you know, redug Hohokam canals. Doesn't that just resemble that bird?
And then here's another bit of trivia for you. I thought the capital was copper from Arizona. Why would they go to Pennsylvania? Do they even do copper back? Maybe they did back at the turn of the century, but I don't know.
Yes, read what you will into this story, but the legislature did not give a whole lot of money for Arizona's first capital.
Really done on the cheap.
Yeah, it's really a kind of a disgrace, actually. And so the dome was supposed to have been sheathed with copper, donated by copper companies, which ran Arizona politics at the time. And what do you know? They were too cheap to give us any copper. So we had it painted. And then finally, there was a big capital renovation in the 80s, and we're finally going to get our copper sheath dome that doesn't oxidize green immediately, and so we have to get special treated copper from Pennsylvania.
Whoa. Anyway, it's unlike most states, that's the big centerpiece. When you decide, you get the city is, you know, going to be the capital of the state, you put a lot of money into the product, and that didn't work in Arizona.
No, in fact, I'll go so far as to say, and I say this as you know, a fifth generation Arizonan, we have the ugliest state capital in the 50.
Mm, okay, all right. Let's get back to the new book, Rim to River, and you did end your journey in kind of the place that sets the stage for our name.
Yes. The goal of this walking trip from the Utah border down to the Mexican border and then into Mexico was to see the place that gave Arizona its name from a 1736 silver rush at a ranch that took the name, derivative of the Basque language, called the Place of the Good Oak Tree. There's some folk etymology that says that Arizona takes its name from Ali Shonak, which is the Tohono O'odham phrase for little spring, but that's actually not true. The name is of Basque origin.
How did you come up with this idea to do the walk?
Well, I did it not wanting to, or not knowing that I was going to necessarily write about it. It's just something that kind of captured my imagination to walk all the way across the state. That's meant, you know, the Bend where I grew up, was educated, had a career, a place where my family's been since 1908. I thought, what's the best way to really get to know it, but to, you know, cover it step by occasionally miserable step.
I know that it's called the Arizona Trail, right? Is it well marked? I mean, what is it like?
Yes, it was assembled out of a collection of state, federal, and private pathways by a Flagstaff school teacher named Lee Shewalter, and it is very capably managed by the Arizona Trail Association, which has its headquarters here in Tucson. And it is indeed very easy to follow, and I certainly encourage folks to go out and hike sections of it, particularly those that we have in Tucson, which are just really beautiful.
Had you ever taken you look like you're in pretty good condition, but I mean, had you ever done anything like this, about a month and a half of hiking?
Well, once before, I took it on myself to walk the length of the Santa Fe Trail from Independence, Missouri to Santa Fe, New Mexico. In my 20s. I did that for a newspaper story.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 900 miles.
Did you have any close calls on this trip?
Not...
other than wishing that the food was a little better?
Yeah. I mean, there were points where it was just really hurt. In terms of, like, real danger, not precisely, although I did run out, you know, get very close to running out of water on a couple of occasions, and that really gives you a profound respect for just, you know, how unforgiving the desert can be.
You know, and I was thinking about how I was going to shape this interview with you, and the five C's kept popping up in my head. First of all, what are the five C's? And then we're going to talk a little bit about each of them and how they relate actually to the book.
Okay.
You got climate,
yes.
Right? You got cattle.
Mm-hmm.
You got copper.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, what am I missing? Climate, copper.
Cotton.
Cotton, of course. And
citrus.
Citrus. Okay.
Some would say that there's a sixth C, which is cocaine.
Oh. So when I think of those five C's in relationship to the book, you pretty much hit on four of them pretty hard, not so much citrus, but why don't we talk a little bit about beginning with climate? And that's kind of how starting, like here in Tucson, with something called the Sunshine Club, about trying to sell Arizona to folks back east.
Yeah, there was an idea that this all it needed was water and good people,
mm-hmm.
and it would turn into a garden spot. You know, the witticism around this, well, yeah, that's the same as true of hell. All it needs is water and good people. But the Phoenix Garden Club ran a campaign called Let's Do Away with the Desert. This was in the 20s, and that we were going to turn it into Pasadena with greenery and a kind of a sense of a verdant place. And yes, the Sunshine Club wanted to make the Upper Sonoran into a place that it really wasn't.
Also, the building of the Mount Lemmon Highway was an effort to kind of turn this area into kind of a Four Seasons mm-hmm. destination. It's interesting. I didn't realize the history of the Hitchcock Highway, and it was built with prison labor.
Yes. The name Hitchcock comes from the former owner and publisher of the Tucson Citizen, General Frank Hitchcock, who was a big fixer within the Republican Party and got the federal appropriation signed by President Hoover to build that road. And it was done mainly with convict labor, a combination of Mexican border crossers, those who had been convicted of alcohol violations on federal Indian reservations, as well as conscientious objectors of Japanese descent. This was not an internment camp. This was not like Manzanar. This was the place that you went if you were a Japanese male who refused to fight for the United States. This was your only other option, is that you're going to go to a prison camp. And the Catalina Federal Honor Camp, as it was known, which the foundations can still be seen off the Mount Melman Highway at what's now the Gordon Hibayashi Historic Site. That's where you went, and you were assigned to drive a bulldozer or use dynamite or shovel asphalt and help build that crazy road up to Summerhaven.
All right, we're talking with Tom Zollner. We're talking about his book, Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. This is a book that was just published by the University of Arizona Press. And later in our time together, Tom, I'll be talking about all your events that you have coming up that are not related to the Tucson Festival of Books. So maybe we should do a quick shout out to you're taking part in, I think, at least four sessions, aren't you, tomorrow and Sunday?
Four sessions altogether, yes.
Four sessions altogether. And just briefly, Tom, what are they covering?
Oh, gosh. I think three of them are focused on the book, and then I'll be interviewing the great Philadelphia journalist Buzz Bissinger on his book, The Mosquito Bowl.
Okay. All right. We'll have more with Tom Zollner as we continue on The Buckmaster Show. But right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery, Tom. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Did you miss... Do you like sweets, and did you miss like bakery goods and fresh croissants and things like that when you were on the hike?
I missed more enchiladas, actually.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, with their beautiful pastries, a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries, I would suggest. When Steve and the team open on weekends, they open at 6:30, and on Sunday, Saturday, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock on Sunday, I would get there early for the best selection. They are taking Mondays off, but that's a well-deserved day off. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Check it out. Their website has all these beautiful, tempting photographs of pretty much everything on the menu. We'll be right back with Tom Zollner. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're kind of doing a book, kind of book theme show today in honor of the Tucson Festival of Books, which will draw probably about 300 writers and authors to this year's event, the 14th Annual Book Festival. One of the presenters will be Tom Zollner, a fifth-generation Arizonan. He's a professor at Chapman University in L.A., former staffer at the Arizona Republic. His latest book, published by the University of Arizona Press, Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. And joining us on the live line, Jim Ninsel. Our live line, by the way, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Ninsel spent more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly, retiring in July as senior editor at Tucson Local Media. And Jim is actually acknowledged by Tom Zollner at the end of the book in the acknowledgments, thanking Jim for not only Tom's, I believe, long friendship with Jim, but Tom's learned some stuff from Jim, haven't you, Tom?
Oh, tons. talk about a civic conscience.
All right, Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I apologize for joining a little late here, but Tom, I really enjoyed the book. I tell you, reading it, it almost felt like a ghost story or a whole bunch of ghost stories. The ghost story of Arizona, it seemed like it had a bunch of your own personal hauntings and a lot of the hauntings of Arizona, stories that haunt Arizona in a way. And I just found it to be a really fascinating look at that, the landscape as you walk through Arizona, but also your meditations on the history and the politics and the literature and the economics and the food and the culture. And it's just an amazing broad view of the state while you take this pretty impressive hike across it.
Thank you. And I'm really intrigued with that idea of a ghost story, because as everyone listening to this will know, you know, it's possible to live a perfectly credible Arizona existence, you know, having the place swept clean of all memory or associations or anything, but just sort of a pretty background. But the deeper you look in Arizona, the more ghosts you're going to find in this, you know, landscape, which can seem very polished and, you know, made green by overly watered lawns and stucco homes and streets with meaningless names. Underneath that lies something complicated and occasionally disturbing.
And you even talk about listening to ghost stories at one point when you're at a camp, I think up in the White Mountains as a kid.
That
opens up one chapter.
Yeah, the Mugion Monster. I thought that, you know, the counselor was making that up just to scare the kids, but it turns out that's actually Arizona's version of Sasquatch, and there were all kinds of reported sightings of this shambling apparition by cattlemen around the Mugion Rim around the turn of the 20th century.
there may have some people mistook you as the Mogollon monster while you're on your hike.
And they would have been perfectly justified in thinking that.
Tom, such incredible diversity in Arizona's landscape, and some might argue, thanks to Arizona highways, the country has been exposed to this incredible place. But then when it comes to the neighborhoods where we live within this state, you have a kind of a bland, striking sameness to all of it.
Yes. I deal with this in an essay called Monotony Rules, which is actually something that's tacked up in one of the sales offices in a place called Rancho Mercado, a name which totally made up name. It doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. On the far edges of Surprise, which is an enormous boomberg. You know, it used to be nothing but a little dot, a siding on the Santa Fe Railroad up to Las Vegas. And now it's the fifth fastest growing city in the country. And the monotony rules state by this particular home builder, Taylor Morrison, that these what are called snout houses, we've all seen them, you know, with the clay tile roofs and the garage out front,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can't have more than three of them of any particular style on the same block. And so, you know, you go into these places and it's head scratching. You know, there's signs in some of the newer ones that point to what's called the community exit for those people who get lost in these, you know, mazes of, you know, streets called, you know, Chuparosa Way, you know, the house that I profile. I write the biography of one of these production homes. It's on West Wind Drive.
West Wind Drive.
Yes, you make sense out of that one. So, you know, these kind of poetic, you know, puffiness. And what kinds of sociologies are we creating in these neighborhoods?
You know? You got a lot of lonely people. You were looking for some conversation in Surprise. The residents of Surprise don't like surprise guests. You tried to start a conversation with a woman in Surprise, and what did she do? Calls 911.
Yep.
There's a stranger here. Who is this guy this asking, was, how are you?
10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you know, I was in like one of those what's called amenity areas, which is what you and I would call a park. You know, it's got a, you know, playground equipment there. I think I look relatively harmless. I have hands in my pockets, big smile. I said, hi, I just want to, and I didn't get, you know, those words out before, you know, I got the palm of her hand.
Stop.
Yeah, with one hand and with the other hand, dialing 911. And so like, okay, let me get out of here fast.
All right, Jim Nitzel, go ahead, Jim.
Officer, the Mogollon monster is in my neighborhood. You talking about those neighborhoods puts me in the mind of a line from a MASH book by Richard Hooker, where he was talking about it's the kind of neighborhood where even if you come home sober, you're lucky to find your house. one of the stories that, and there were a lot that stuck out, but I enjoyed the story about the you were working at the Republic when a house blew up in Scottsdale, and there was a family who had been killed by the father, Richard Fisher, I think his name was, and you got some tips and broke some news about that. And got on the wrong side, crosswise with the Scottsdale Police Department detectives involved. And at the time, you know, you thought you were doing your job. But later, you actually sat down with one of those officers and had a conversation with him. And there was kind of a twist. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Robert Fisher is still on the FBI's 10 most wanted list.
Wow.
One of the most notorious homicides in recent Arizona history. And I reported on it for the Republic. I was the first reporter on the scene because I followed the smoke, you know, into this Scottsdale cul-de-sac. And yeah, we did get some nice tips. You know, every crime reporter loves it when they can sort of be ahead of the police in some ways. And some details that, you know, the police did not want released. And, you know, years later, I got into a screaming match with one of these detectives up in the Tonto National Forest and where Fisher's car had been found. And, you know, I thought, well, that's just, you know, a cop being a cop. And, you know, years later, he invited me to go smoke a cigar with him in one of these, you know, cigar clubs, which is in an industrial park. And he says, you know why we're really mad at you, don't you? And I said, I guess it's just, you know, cop versus reporter. That's like an old enmity, right? And he said, no. We were hoping to put out the message that we didn't know that this was a homicide, and we wanted Robert Fisher to come back pretending, oh my gosh, I didn't know that my house exploded. Oh my God, what can I do to help? You know, they were trying to set a trap for him, and they thought that I had messed it up by putting these details in the Republic, which to this day, I feel conflicted about it. And on one hand, you know, it's not, you know, journalism's job to try and, you know, be a megaphone for law enforcement. I think that's a terrible idea. But at the same time, you know, did this genuinely, you know, make a difference in this investigation? I'll never know.
How about water? We are there's this Saudi Arabian group that is growing alfalfa in the state of Arizona, and here we have this very difficult situation with the sustainability of the future of Arizona, and we're basically giving away water.
Yes, it's a terrible scandal. I'm glad to see that it's getting major attention on the state government level, as it needs to. This flew under the radar for many years.
Why are we doing this?
Well, it's a kind of a result of the lack of regulation around this. I mean, this is to the point where even some really hardcore anti-government Mojave County conservatives are really, you know, asking the state to extend their governing districts, you know, beyond Arizona's major cities into the boonies to create some restrictions on this pumping, because it's done unrestrictedly. For those who don't know this, this dairy is owned by the Saudi government. They grow alfalfa, bundle it all up, ship it out on rail, airlift it to the Arabian Peninsula around the globe. And this is a way of essentially exporting Arizona water to a foreign government. And, you know, there's nothing that's illegal about this.
In our first Jim, you missed the first segment. We were talking about, Jim, I don't know if you had gotten to the point in the book where the copper that's in our state capitol in the dome actually comes from Pennsylvania, because Tom wrote that it did not, because Tom wrote, but the copper companies were asked to donate, right, Tom, the copper, Arizona copper, and they declined. They said, we're not going to give you copper for the dome. So where I'm going with this is the copper has obviously played a huge role, Tom Zollner, in shaping this state.
No question. Rosemont, I think, is the biggest story in southern Arizona of the last 30 years. And the ultimate fate of that keeps ping-ponging. The Arizona Trail goes right past Rosemont, which provides a, you know, golden opportunity to write about not just the oscillating politics surrounding that, but also the way that copper, which was really a high-tech business, you know, this was the cutting edge of technology and Arizona's founding days around the turn of the 20th century, just, you know, what an impact that corporate culture had on our state government and the way we continue to live today.
And the company towns.
Yes. Bisbee, Ajo, Morenci, they are unique places.
All right, Jim Nentzel.
Oh, you know, these little historical tidbits like that are really scattered through the book. And one of the ones I really got a kick out of was, and this was something I had not heard before, was that the original name of the Phoenix area was Pumpkinville.
Yeah,
we talked a little. That was kind of one of my lead-off tidbits with Tom. Okay. But I know that one really grabbed me, too. So, Tom, I it looks like that's kind of a trivia headline that's come out of your
It's standard Phoenix bashing here on Tucson Radio.
And
right?
For Jim, who did not hear Seg 1, he was busy with some other things. They did grow pumpkins, I guess, there.
Yes. It was a place to grow crops for hungry soldiers at Fort McDowell.
So we talked about, you know, I want to get back to the five C's because they're all there. We talked about climate, a little bit about copper, cattle. Huge influence.
Huge. It is infinitesimal today. It makes hardly any dent whatsoever in the state's GDP, a fraction of a percent. But nevertheless, those cultural imprints are of course, quite deep insofar as what we choose to valorize and celebrate about our past. And certainly some of the sweetheart deals that continue with ranchers and being able to get grass at a significantly reduced rate from the federal government.
And then copper, we talked about copper, and then you had cotton with all the cotton fields now are tract homes.
Yes, and not just that, but cotton is really struggling, particularly in central Arizona. Just about everyone listening, of course, has made the drive to Phoenix on I-10. Through the cotton country that was made possible by the San Carlos Irrigation Project, the Coolidge Dam, that really gave places like Florence and Casa Grande a shot in the arm. Something that I don't think is widely appreciated is just how much that area was settled by Dust Bowl refugees from Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas. And that really is kind of Arizona's, you might call it Bakersfield, you know, our place where the Route 66 ended a little bit early. And a lot of the culture there, the country music, the Baptist churches, the surnames in that part of Pinal County is really kind of little Oklahoma.
Jim, we'll get back to you in a minute, but we're going to take another break, and then we'll have a few more minutes with Tom Zollner. Let's take a break. It's Buckmaster. We're talking with Tom about his new book, about the hike he did on the Arizona Trail. The name of the book is Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tom some of the perceptions, what perceptions may have changed about his home state at the conclusion of his walk. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Everett
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on a Friday. Tom Zollner is with us. Tom has done 18, maybe at the end of your career, Tom, 18 nonfiction books. Right now it's 8. And the most current is Rim to River, Looking into the Heart of Arizona. Tom's going to be at the book festival. He's got, I think, 4 events going on there. In a few moments, I'll also talk about some specific events he has outside of the book festival in March. Jim Nensel is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before I throw it back to Nensel for maybe one more question, Tom, what there are a couple of perceptions that changed after the hike on the trail on those 40-plus days in the wilderness?
the marination out there.
There you go.
Arizona's both worse than you thought it was, but better than you ever dreamed.
Nensel, go ahead.
Oh, you know, hearing you talk about the 5 C's, I was wondering if maybe it's time for cannabis to replace.
maybe so. Yeah.
We may be short on time for this, but you also talk about the politics of the Republican Party, and you trace it from Barry Goldwater, you know, to today's party. And I just was wondering if you wanted to reflect on that a little bit here before we're out of time.
Sure. I mean, Barry Goldwater, of course, is a secular saint in Arizona. But what I think is forgotten is that he was in some ways Kelly Ward before Kelly Ward, that there was extremism within the party that took root in a strangely an optimistic atmosphere of Phoenix in the 1950s. The old Democratic Party machine was breaking apart. You had all these World War II veterans flooding into, in particular, Phoenix. You had all kinds of aerospace come up here because of the heavy Army Air Corps investment in places like Luke, Davis-Monthan. We had companies like Motorola, Air Research, Sperry. This was really a hopeful time to be here, but it was the political atmosphere was extremely anti-communist, even though we were depending on heavy government support. And it gave root to Evan Mecham, the U.S. out of the U.N., John Bircher governor that some of us will remember, who had the triple indignity of being indicted, impeached, and recalled all at the same time. So what we see today is really nothing new.
Did Mecham set the stage for some of the perhaps right-wing extremism that we see today in Arizona?
Yes, and I think one thing to always remember about Evan Mecham is that he won a plurality in the Republican primary of 1986, and most of the people who voted for him had been in Arizona less than 5 years. So that's another case of newcomers really setting the political agenda in Arizona.
You're going to be at the Triangle L Ranch in Oracle on March 17th at 6 o'clock. That's a Friday. Did you walk through that area?
I did indeed. Oracle's what's called a gateway community of the Arizona Trail.
Okay. So some of the other events you've got coming up. Let me see. You'll be in Green Valley, and there is a chapter about Green Valley. You'll be in Green Valley Thursday, March 23rd, at their library at 3 in the afternoon. Quick thought about Green Valley.
Yes, this is the quintessence of retirement sociology in Arizona. This is 13% of our economy. It's a major part of our state's narrative, and it's poorly understood. I tried to spend as much time as I could in Green Valley and understand what it's like to come to Arizona as a blank slate to live out your golden years.
speaking and signing books at Madera's Gallery. They're over on North Swan. You'll be there Thursday, March 23rd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Do you like Diane Madera's' stuff?
Indeed, I do.
Then you here's one more for you. Back on the U of A campus at the Arizona History Museum. Is that going to be the Historical Society?
Yes, yeah. that's the one on Park.
The one on Park, okay. And that one is at 11:30 on Saturday, March 25th. The original Historical Society, did they kind of whitewash some of the early Arizona history?
Yes, thank you. Yes, they Sons of the Arizona Pioneers, they were formed to kind of create a heroic narrative around some of the really disgraceful aspects of our
like
history.
The massacre.
Captain Grant.
Camp Grant massacre. And that folks, that, I don't know, is that taught in school here in Arizona?
Yeah, I think you have to be paying attention. I don't remember it being taught at Canyon Del Oro High School when I was going there, although my former history teacher, one of the teachers there, Jeff Stensrud, gave me a hard time because he says, we do teach that.
Okay, Jim Nintzel, you're going to be at the book festival too, right?
I am. I'm moderating a panel on Sunday at 1 o'clock with David Korn and Mark Leibovich and Malcolm Nance about the direction of the Republican Party. So that should be a real fun thing, but you'll probably have to get in line because those Gallagher events tend to fill up.
Okay, Tom, Jim, first of all, thanks, Jim, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And Tom, I just wanted to give you a quick congratulations on the birth of your second kid, and I hope you're enjoying fatherhood.
Thanks, Jim. And I know that you've been through this before, and I really appreciate that.
Okay, and I want to close by saying that if folks can find out more about Tom Zollner, his website is Tom Zollner. It's spelled ZOELLNER.com. And Tom, good luck with all of your events and enjoyed the book very much.
Oh, thanks, Bill. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's coming up next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Oh, that music signals. It's music to my ears. It's Weekend Watch with longtime Weekend Watch host Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start thinking about a three-hour drive that will really take you to a different part of the Southwest. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, looking real nice after the recent, all the rain and the snow, the Gila National Wilderness greening up. Sounds like a perfect springtime getaway. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, for where to stay, what to do, and even where to dine. And speaking of dining, let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell, dedicated foodie. What's on your agenda this weekend, Mr. Matt? How are you?
I'm doing great. Finally put the snowshoes back in the shed for another yes. season. So let the sun come out and do what we're supposed to do during the spring.
Well, did you get out? You got built that snowman up at Russell Public Communications. Didn't last very long, I know.
It certainly didn't. But there is a lot of fun that we have on tap this weekend, Bill. You know, you may have seen some changes if you've been up to the Oro Valley location of Riley Craft Pizza over the past couple of weeks. Like, the name Riley is completely gone. The pizzas are bigger. They have Frank Sinatra in surround sound. Yes, the Fenton family behind Riley has completely reimagined the concept and the menu for this space. It's now called Fentonelli's Pizzeria and Bar, kind of an East Coast-inspired joint with what they call a New York red sauce vibe. So while the original Riley location downtown remains unchanged, this location on Oracle and Ina offers kind of a renewed perspective on pizza and pasta, along with a really cool bar that shakes up some classics. And there's also a fun story behind the new name, but you're going to have to get up there to hear it. So check out Fentonelli's this weekend.
How about some hockey?
Yeah, once again, the Tucson Roadrunners are teaming up with local craft brewers for an event that pairs ice sports with beer. It's the annual Hockey and Hops, which essentially is a beer garden with several brewers that pop up outside the TCC downtown just 3 hours before tomorrow's Roadrunners game. So your $50 ticket will get you access to the garden, 12 tasting tickets, a commemorative glass, plus a ticket to that evening's Roadrunners game. So I call that a power play for the palate. It all starts at 4 o'clock tomorrow. You can get your tickets for Hockey and Hops at TucsonRoadrunners.com.
And now, bringing back the theme of today's program, Tucson Festival of Books, we just had a wonderful conversation with writer Tom Zollner. We talked with Jim Nintzel. Both Tom and Nintzel will be presenting at the Tucson Festival of Books. Is there a culinary piece to this?
Well, you know, it's one of my favorite things of the year. Of course, at the Tucson Festival of Books, I always hang out near the culinary stage, which features a full lineup of foodies and celebrity chefs and authors. This year, you're going to see Maya Camille Broussard from the hit Netflix series Bake Squad. You're going to have food blogger Anna Volshnia, who will discuss Ukrainian cuisine. A former editor of Food and Wine magazine will be discussing her book Fresh Midwest, sort of a tribute to Midwestern fare. And Bill, this is just a tease for what's planned on the foodie front. So I say be sure to find a seat in the culinary section of the festival for what I know will be some pretty delicious discussions and demonstrations.
Well, you were there, and so was I 14 years ago when this whole thing took off. And for a lot of people were saying, wow, festival of books? It was the time when people were saying, nobody's going to actually read a book anymore. They're just going to get it all on the internet. But look at how this has grown. I believe it's one of the top three book festivals in the United States, drawing over 100,000 people, mister.
Indeed. And when the C-SPAN bus rolls into town, you know this is a big deal. So it's something that Tucson can take great pride in. the volunteers that work so hard every year to bring this all together. It is definitely a Tucson treasure.
All right. Have a terrific weekend, Mr. Matt Russell. Thank you, Matt.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
All righty then. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer Tom Fairbanks and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All I can say is be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the Tucson Festival of Books. Talk to you Monday.